Hello and welcome. This is the All About Symbian Insight podcast number 215. We are recording on the 8th of June, 2012. I'm David Gilson in Kingston upon Hull, and with me in Sussex is...
Rafe Blanford. Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
And just back from Reading City Centre, we've got Steve Litchfield.
You make it sound really glamorous, David. No, we thought we'd let David chair this one. It seems like Rafe and I may well end up doing quite a bit of talking, so David's the one linking us smoothly. I have to say, I'm sitting here sobbing rather gently. There's no sign of the Nokia 808 in the UK at the moment, and I'm seeing people receive theirs gratefully all around the world and going...
there, Steve. I'm sure the 808 POV will be with us very soon. We're waiting for a review device from Nokia. But as Steve says, it is starting to ship in a few countries around the world now. So you're going to start to see plenty of sample photos appearing. But rest assured, we will have our own coverage starting as soon as possible.
And on that subject, we will dive straight into the news. And we will go on to the 808 availability map, which I think you posted, Steve, didn't you?
Yes, this is something Nokia's put up. And there seems to be a few holes. For example... it's an interactive map, so you click on it and on the appropriate content. You then get a list of individual countries coming up. However, and if I actually click through it so I can try it live on air, if you click on Europe, there's no sign of the UK, boo hiss, which Rafe can explain in a moment. And if you can't actually click on the whole of North or South America at all, which, given that we know the 808 is definitely coming to some South American and North American countries. That seems rather strange. Rafe, is this just a work in progress?
Yes, it's kind of a work in progress. I mean, this map's actually linking to the individual Nokia sites in the specific countries and where there are plans, and I think it's probably related to operator arranging to make the device available, you know, or where there's been, you know, something official set up. That's where it's linking through to, because it's kind of, if you like, all set up, ready for doing the support. It doesn't mean it's not coming to a certain country or it's going to be available in a country linked to straight away. Some of those will have to wait into July, maybe later in the summer. You're quite right about South America, for example. Chris Webber, who's the president of Nokia in the US, has said they're going to find a way to have the 808 available in the US, but that is most certainly going to be SIM-free rather than with any operator. And certainly it's starting to look that way for the UK as well at the moment. I don't think any operator is going to range it, or if they do, it will be some kind of special offer through one of the, you know, specific retailers. Maybe Carphone Warehouse or Phones For You will choose to do something. But I've been told that the 808 will be widely available SIM-free all over the world. I mean, that means you'll have to go maybe to, you know, a specialist retailer or an online retailer to buy it SIM-free, and that fewer countries will be getting it, you know, through an operator, which means in some cases you might be able to get a device subsidy. It's not altogether unusual or unexpected, this. I mean, we, I think, would be the first to say the 808 is something of a niche device, and those of you who remember the N86 and the N82, for example, you know, arriving at the height of Symbian's powers, really, even those didn't get ranged by operators in every country. You know, I know, for example, the N82 I had, that came SIM-free because it wasn't readily available for a UK operator.
Yeah, it does seem somewhat unfortunate and almost crazy that the operators aren't going to carry such a brilliant phone, but we understand that Symbian is slowly going away, although I think an opportunity could be made of this for actually photographic shops that normally just sell point-and-shoot cameras and SLRs could actually stock these cameras and basically sell it as, well, look, here's a great digital camera that happens to have a phone and a web browser in it as well.
Yeah, that's a fair point, David. I mean, bear in mind, for something like camera shops, you'd have to set up a whole new supply and logistics chain. So it's not, you know, that easy to do, especially when this is, I wouldn't say a one-off device, but it is a niche device. And obviously the PureView technology is going to be used in the future. So if you're an operator looking at your roadmaps, you're saying, you know, do I want to take this device when I know there may be something coming down the road, which I'll be able to sell in the same way I is a sort of camera-centric device. One has to face reality in Western Europe. You know, Symbian is getting towards an endpoint. For those who want to buy it, it is still going to be available. So I would stress that. You know, the personal part of me goes, yes, it's absolutely crazy. You want to arrange it. It really is an amazing technical achievement, an amazing device. But I can also see the business side of it where, you know, people buy a smartphone for other reasons than just the camera. And, you know, operators in particular are going to be thinking about it from a more generic point of view. You know, what does the average customer want? And I'll be honest and say the 808 is probably not the phone for an average customer.
Yes, well, we'll move on now. Google have acquired QuickOffice, which is something of an end of an era, because anyone who has used a Symbian device for a number of years will at some point have come across QuickOffice, either pre-installed or having bought the upgrades. I myself have used it quite a few times, trying to be an effective road warrior, trying to get a few things edited on a Symbian device, which is easier said than done. But Google have acquired it, so it's something of an end of an era, isn't it, Rafe?
Yes, I think that's an inevitable part of the kind of technology process. You know, as things develop, as ecosystems build and fall, you will see acquisitions come and go. But it does feel like we're heading towards an era where it is about really big groupings on either side. And obviously there's the things like Android, then iOS and Apple, and then Microsoft and Nokia. You know, I think RIM would like to be included as a fourth member in that, and there's probably various others who would make a claim as well. But it does feel like it's coming down to those three big giants. And you know, QuickOffice is just one more step along that road. I'm sure there'll be more acquisitions to come. I mean, looking back, we've had something like Instagram, for example, by Facebook. And Facebook's kind of a fourth party. Is that going to ally with one of them? No, I think it will remain generic. And then, of course, there's something like Amazon. So it's not just a question of, you know, simply dividing it into three teams. But yes, as I say, I think this process of consolidation will continue. It's an inevitable part of the ecosystem, and actually it's quite healthy. You know, that's what happens with startups in the technology world. You know, they do something interesting and innovative, and QuickOffice may have been around a bit longer than some that have been acquired, but that's what happens.
Well, one technology company that has never picked a side is Opera, and it's our favorite bandwidth saving mobile browser. Opera Mini has been updated, and it's quite a significant update to version 7, and Steve has got the story.
Yes, Opera Mini is being constantly updated, as you say. Version 7.0, 29974, if you're counting, is the support. Previous version was 6.5, so it is a major version release. Basically, Opera has taken on board what many other software companies have taken on board and web services over the last year or two, and basically integrated social networks. So in addition to getting your Twitter and Facebook feeds on your toaster, your fridge, and your washing up bowl, you can now get Twitter and Facebook updates in Opera Mini. So right on the front page of Opera Mini now, you give trust it with your social network login details, and you can see updates actually streamed into your front homepage. So you've got, for example, speed dials, you've got the featured links, you've got your own favorite sites based on the sites you visit, and you've got your social network updates all in line, followed by the Opera News. So effectively, you can log in to go into Opera Mini, and providing it's got all your details, you see everything that's relevant to you all in one stream, which is a really nice idea. But I have to say, it's just a tiny bit OTT. Someone who's already got his Twitter and Facebook details in so many different services, applications, and systems, to have yet one more place to see these same updates and to give it my authorization just seems a tiny bit too much. Any comments, Rafe?
Well, the only thing I'd say is Opera Mini have done a great job over the years of choosing the right things to do. And I suspect this is less aimed at smartphone users, and Opera Mini is really, of course, about feature phone users, where Twitter and Facebook will be less well baked into those systems than we're used to on smartphones. And so it does kind of make sense to me as a move. And, you know, it's kind of where you expect to see it. It's part of your web experience almost now, social networks. So kudos to Opera for doing that. But as David said, you know, they have remained largely platform agnostic. You know, they've always tried to release on everything. But even a company like Opera, you know, there's rumors around it being acquired by, you know, a company like Facebook, for example. I've always been somewhat surprised Opera has survived as an independent as long as it did. I mean, at one point there was speculation it might be acquired by Nokia, for example, for its browser technology back when it was sort of producing the best native browser for Symbian devices, and actually arguably it still is the best native browser for Symbian devices. Opera is one of the first things I install on any Nokia Symbian device, for example.
Yeah, also mentioned that a version 7.0 update, support for an unlimited amount of speed dials. So rather than just having a page of favorites, you can have as many as you want in Opera Mini. Also, a whole detailed long change log I won't bore you with, but it does include performance optimization. The phrase we always like to see, because it means the end application will be faster. And I have to say, despite me being a tiny bit jaded in terms of yet another Opera Mini update, it's still the browser I go to when I'm out and about, and I get Edge if I'm lucky, GPRS if I'm not lucky, out in the country somewhere in the UK. What do I turn to? I turn to Opera Mini because it's the only browser that will get me real-world pages nice and fast. So a vote of confidence for me there.
And Opera Mini isn't the only application update on Symbian. I mean, for a dying platform, we've got a lot of big name applications appearing at the moment. Steve, you've been covering these this week.
Indeed. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's go to Vimeo.
Okay, Vimeo is effectively, if you haven't heard of it, it's a sort of more highbrow, slightly more serious version of YouTube. It's been around for roughly the same length of time. And so rather than having skateboarding cats and fun things that teenagers upload in their bedrooms, you tend to get semi-commercial videos and professionally produced stuff, much higher quality video in terms of the content, not the actual physical picture quality, and more serious subjects. And just looking down here, for example, it's in the main categories in the Vimeo, you get activism and non-profits, church, citizen journalism, environment, humanitarian, and then it goes down into animation, 3D animation, After Effects, computer animation, dance, exhibitions, graphic design, none of which are topics you really tend to see on YouTube very much. So it's a very, very different feel. But the main thing is they've now got an official Vimeo client and it works rather well. I know Rafe had a few issues with it. Maybe you can clarify that in a moment. But for me, on my N8, it installed first time, worked first time, and all the videos played perfectly in proper 360p, just right for the NHD screens of the Symbian smartphone. So yes, if you've any inkling at all about that you'd like to try a slightly more serious form of video journalism and featured videos, almost like a sort of a catch-up TV style, then do have a look at this Vimeo in the Nokia store, and it's free. Go grab it.
Yeah, right. I mean, when I downloaded this, I was having a few connectivity issues. It wouldn't actually load the videos, but I tried it out later, and it worked perfectly. And as Steve says, it's kind of the grown-up version of YouTube. I kind of hesitate to use that phrase, but it does feel like the average content quality is much higher. You know, there's kind of curation of what goes on there. And so as a way of getting content on your device that's interesting to, view and listen to, I think the Vimeo app is certainly one that will appeal to a lot of people who want to kind of avoid all the rubbish you can sometimes find on YouTube.
And next along, Evernote fans will be happy, won't they, Steve?
Yes, NoteKeeper is an Evernote client that I installed, I think, version 1.1 about 2 or 3 months ago, and it was, I had a few issues that I didn't really understand the principle. Most client applications for web services, you basically you either have a system whereby you read the content on the web service almost as if through a window and you suck down just the bits you want, or you have a full sync system whereby the entire database of notes and content on the web is synchronized to your local copy on the client. So it's usually one or the other. NoteKeeper has a hybrid approach whereby it recognizes that in Evernote, which is, this is all based on Evernote.com, Evernote is now so rich in terms of the amount of content it adds. It's not just text. Evernote now has images and video and picture and got me in. Sorry, Ray. Evernote is now so rich in terms of the variety of multimedia content that you can embed in notes. There's no way you'd want all of that synced down using up your bandwidth and your memory space on your phone through a client. So there's basically a very clever system whereby certain content gets synced, others doesn't get synced. If you create something on your phone, it gets synced up to the cloud, obviously, but not everything you create in the cloud gets synced down with its full content down to the phone. And I didn't perhaps appreciate that in the first version. It wasn't obvious. I still think there are a couple of things in NoteKeeper 1.3 that aren't obvious in terms of the way you have your local favorite notes, and you also have what's called offline notebooks, and the two kind of, to me, seem to duplicate each other's functionality. But it's much more solid, much clearer what's going on. Performance is really rather good, and it's just great having the whole of my Evernote database on my phone, or any of my phones, really, whichever platform I pick up now. Symbian can now play amongst that list of platforms. So really highly recommend it. It's a couple of quid. Go grab it, definitely.
And staying on the cloud theme, we have a new application for SkyDrive, which is Microsoft's cloud storage service. However, it isn't an official application. It's been written by a third-party developer. So, Steve, does it suffer for having been written independently?
Yes, it suffers from being a version one, effectively. It's a nice idea. I guess this is almost akin to the NoteKeeper 1.1 I was talking about, and that has matured incredibly well over the last 2 or 3 months. If SkyFiles matures to the same degree, then we're in for a treat in terms of access to SkyDrive. At the moment, you can browse all the files and folders, and you can download stuff, which it may be all many people need. Having said that, you can't upload at the moment, and also it doesn't remember your login details. Every time you go in the app, you have to enter your Windows Live ID and your password all over again, which to me just spanks of something which is version one. It's proof of concept. Hey, it works. Go and grab it for free. And once he's got some feedback, the developer will then push the version 1 or 1.1 or a version 2, and everything will be fixed. It will remember your logins, and there'll be much greater interactivity. So whether there are actually many people out there running Symbian who are also big SkyDrive fans, that's another matter, of course. But if you do need to, or perhaps you're transitioning to Windows Phone, then yeah, this may well come in very handy.
That's what I was thinking. I think this goes under a similar category to, say, for example, screenshot applications. It's a perfect application for reviewers who are on lots of different devices, but for ordinary users on the street, I'm not sure how many people this would be catering to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, we will move on now. Steve has written a massive opus of a review on All About Symbian for the Bell Feature Pack 1 update, specifically on the Nokia 701, which is another, just like the 808, hasn't been carried very well in the UK, so you have to get it through alternate means. But Steve, could you take us through what you found and what you like and what were the low points?
Yes, that's right. We should mention this is also applicable to the Nokia 700, the 701's smaller sister and probably less capable sister, which was ranged in the UK. But there's certainly 701, which is quite hard to find over here. I had to trade mine in, and Rafe had to buy his in from Italy, I think. So it's certainly worth looking out for. Probably the top Symbian device until the 808. Arrives arguably, if you're not too bothered with the camera. The big things for me in Bell Feature Pack 1, which is now well and truly out and rolled out to most of these devices running these systems, the 700 and 701 and also the 603 around the world, clock speed increase. This applies just to 700 and 701, 1.3 gigahertz now. It used to be 1 gigahertz, but a 30% speed increase. That's pretty significant. Having said that, although it's significant for, you know, rendering web pages, even running games, for example, much shorter loading times on levels and games, in actual fact, because Symbian's so well optimized around a slower processor, an awful lot of things in Symbian with the multitasking and the RAM management actually happen pretty nippily anyway, so you don't actually notice the difference. But when you do need it, for example, rendering a big web page, then it does make a difference. So great to have this speed increase on board. And I don't think it actually decreases the battery capacity in terms of the life you get on a charge, because things happen quicker, the screen's on for a shorter time in order to complete the task. So rather paradoxically, you speed the processor up, but you don't actually lose any battery life. Also, they fixed the flash video bug, which has been plaguing just about all of us, I think, for the last 6 months. So you can now go onto a really heavy duty, for example, a video website that uses flash video embeds, and you can tap on them and play them, even high bitrate videos, in the browser without any problems at all. And of course, if you've got local FLV files of high bitrate, they'll also play well as well. So big thumbs up there. I just wish they'd roll that same patch into these vanilla Bell builds via a patch. Loads of new widgets, David. You may want to glance at the screenshots of this. Rather nice, large mechanical clock, complete with little animated cogs moving around. I dare say that does drain some battery life, but it looks nice. Images, I like this. It's, rather than just asking you for your favorite images, like they do on, for example, Android, and you'd have to tap on the one you want and choose the one, and it comes up. It actually provides a random selection of the 6 of your latest captured photos, I think, I'm guessing, from the last week or two, or maybe from the last dozen or so. So you always get a slightly different selection. So every time you go onto that home screen, there's a slightly different layout of thumbnails. And, oh, that was a good photo, wasn't it? And it prompts you to tap on it and enjoy the photo all over again. So thumbs up there. The music player widget is now available smaller, so you can fit that on a screen with more other widgets. And there are a load of toggles, offline, play via radio, 3G, NFC, and there are 4 or 5 others as well. So most of the things you can do in settings in terms of turning things on or off are now available via toggles as widgets on the home screen. So big thumbs up there as well. Multitasking UI, there's slight difference in the multitasking carousel, whoopee-doo, but it does look nicer, and it does show the full screenshots this time, so I'm not going to complain there. The pull-down notifications, slightly different. You now get a separation of incoming messages and other status updates, just to make it a bit clearer that you still don't get email notifications, which is the big downside, and that's the thing that Nokia really need to work on, given that they're responsible for Nokia messaging and Nokia email, and they're also responsible for the OS. There's no reason whatsoever why they can't integrate them properly like every other mobile manufacturer. Mobile data tracker, this is a nice one. You can, like as on recent Android phones, it keeps track of the amount of mobile data you're using, and you can set a cap, and then it will show you a warning, or it will cut data off after that cap, and it does automatic resets. So every month on the day you specify, it zeroes the counters in line with your own billing. So really, really nice there as well. Final couple of things. The browser is now version 8.2. It's a big jump from version 7.4 on Vanilla Bell. Better support for HTML5. Better performance all round. You can start scrolling around pages now before all the images load much more easily. So, and there's a slight tweak in the